and it's difficult to really appreciate him because Allah calls himself in the Quran, in the Torah, in the Gospel, he calls himself Al-Wahid. Wahid. One, he's unique. This is the Bibi Ishay, Allah in the Quran. There is nothing like him. And if you think you know, you don't know. Except what Allah reveals, he reveals something about himself so that human beings can get some measure of understanding of who he is and who his nature is. But he has to reveal it, you can't guess it. And this is what prophets come with. Prophets come teaching the knowledge of God. Now let me give you one verse from the Quran and see if I can deserve this. إِلَّمُوا Allah said in the Quran, إِلَّمُوا know أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Stop. You better know, Allah says, you better know that God is strong in punishing. See, you can't look at Allah one-sided. And what you say, good side, the merciful side, the forgiving side, only because Allah says, إِلَّهُ, you better know, أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. You better know that He's strong in punishment on one hand, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, but on the other hand, He's forgiving and merciful. And sometimes, we are not sure whether we're going to see the punishment of God or His mercy. His mercy. يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He forgives whomever He pleases, and He punishes whomever He pleases. And no one can change him from his will. Are you going to punish or are you going to forgive? But you better know that he has both of them. And that's going to be critical when we get into the last question about how to act. Now, let me give you an example. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said something incredible in one of the traditions. He said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عِنَّ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْعُقُوبَةِ. If the believer knew the extent of Allah's punishment, none of them, not one, would anticipate, expect to go to paradise. By the way, this hadith, let's check it. Rawayu Muslim. It's a Muslim hadith in the Bible called At-Tawbah, forgiveness. That if the believer understood the extent of God's anger, His punishment, not one of us would think, would anticipate, would expect to go to paradise. And we'll give you some examples. And then he ended by saying, وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْكَافِرُ مَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And if the disbeliever knew the extent of Allah's mercy, every one of them would think that they would go to paradise. You see? And the key for us is to, number one, understand Him, know Him, what makes Him angry, and then also know what can give His forgiveness. That's what we want to do, because we want to come back. Because my position tonight, you ready? Is my, you ready? Thank you. You ready? My position tonight, all of us are far gone. All of us. And that's why the Bible says, it says in the Bible, there's not one righteous, no, not even one. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So some of you sit up here and you okay. But you're not. I'm going to show you in a couple of minutes. Alright? What are we talking about? Some of the nature of Allah, what we have to understand. If you want to make tawbah, you want to get back on track, you better know. You better know what the track is, and you better know the one that you got to get back to. Two examples. How many of you have pets at home, raise your hand? You have a pet, man? You have faith. You do eat on it. Not sure? This morning? Well, we got a game. My wife calls it pretty girl. What am I going to say? And I want to talk two traditions. I want to talk about a cat and a dog. First, the cat. And I did it in this order for a reason. According to our tradition, this tradition is called Muttafaqun Alayhi. It's in Bukhari Hadith and Muslim Hadith, one of the most authentic Hadith. We'll be back. Imra'atun fi Hirra. A woman was punished in the hereafter, in hellfire, by God because of a cat that she had, that she locked up in the house. And she didn't feed it, and she didn't give it water, and nor did she let it go so it can get its own food and water, and she locked the cat up until the cat died. And the Prophet said that Allah punished this woman in the hereafter, in the hellfire, because of a cat. This is Allah, the Lord of the worlds. The Supreme Being, the Creator of everything, is punishing His great creature man, human being, because of what they did to a cat. And you see these people who are making dogs fight and kill each other? Man, shoot, man. What? Shoot, you crazy. What you talking about? Now I'm a dog. There are many versions of this hadith, this tradition. I give you one of them. A prostitute from Ben Israel, from the children of Israel, a prostitute, she was thirsty. And she went and she got some water. And after she got water, she saw a dog that was licking its tongue in the mud because it was thirsty trying to get water. And she said that this dog is suffering what I'm suffering from. So this prostitute, she went down in the well, and the hadith said she took her shoe. You can search for something heavy, right? A shoe. And she put water in the shoe, put the shoe in her mouth, and climbed out of the well and gave water to a dog. And the Prophet said, peace and blessings be upon him, that Allah looked upon that deed of the woman, and he was pleased, and he forgave her sins. And one tradition said, he entered her into paradise. For giving water to a dog. Go to paradise. Water to a dog. The God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, He is so merciful that a person gives water to a dog, and God forgives the sin of the person and put him in paradise because of the good kind act that they did to an animal. If they did it for an animal, think of the good that God would do if you give water to a human being. Right? So now look at you. You got a bowl. On the one hand, a cat punished in hellfire because you didn't let the cat go, and a dog, you go to paradise because you gave it good treatment. And the only one who can put you in paradise, the only one is Allah. And the only one that can assign you to hellfire, the only one is Allah, God, the Almighty. So we are beginning now to see that there are two sides of Allah. Now, let me give you this quickly, and then we go on. One morning I was in the masjid. I was going to the masjid. I parked my car. And I was sitting there gathering my books together early in the morning, maybe 8 o'clock, 7:45 in the morning. It was in the summertime. It was like fall. But the weather was nice. And my window was open. And I'm looking, there were about 3 or 4 children, aged 6, 7, 8, and they were going to school, and there was a man accompanying them. And then there was a little girl, she was lagging behind. Maybe she's 8 years old. She's lagging behind. And he says, come on! Come on, let's go! Come on, let's go! And I want to tell you what that little girl said. And I want you to think about it. She said, leave me alone! Leave me alone! You are not my father! Leave me alone! You are not my father! That's heavy. Isn't that heavy? I need somebody to help me. What's the implication here? What was she saying? But she's saying something really deep. She's going to help me in my lecture tonight. What was she saying? What's the implication of what she's saying? Somebody help me. Yes. That's right. That's not a mom. You got it. What's the implication? Don't tell me what to do. He got it. Tell me another implication. What the? Because she's at the root. What she's saying is at the root of what we're going to talk about. Yes.
She said he had no
rights. Ha! If he don't have rights, who has rights? A father. Why? Why does a father have a right to tell us what to do? You don't have to read it in a book. You don't have to read it in the Quran. You don't have to read it in the Torah. You don't have to read it in the Gospel. Inherently, every baby born by nature knows that the mother and father have two rights over it. Number one, the mother and father have the right to tell it what to do. Oh, you don't like what I'm saying? Things change now.
You get a girl, you want to do.
I hear it, man. I hear it. Little kids looking at them.
You can't tell what to do.
I'll call cops on you. And they will. And they will. But by nature, every child knows that A, my parents have a right to tell me what to do. And you know what? Every parent knows that. Right? I had women, they walk down the street of Brooklyn, not in Northern Virginia, but they walk down the street in Brooklyn, and they tell the child, you better come over here, I'll break your arm, take it out of the socket and put it back in. What? But she knows she has the right, A, to tell her what to do, and number two, to punish. A parent have an inherent right to punish the child as long as they don't go beyond the boundaries and become child abuse. But every parent has the right to discipline the child. Watch this. Spare the rod? Spoil the child. Who said that? Spare the rod and spoil the child. In the old days, man, we fucking spanked. No, I'm serious. You don't do that no more. That's why you have problems. I'm serious. The prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, teach your children to make prayer at the age of 7. And if they don't, if you don't get the message in your mind, you get it in your... You say. Now, if a parent have a right to discipline the children, if a parent have an inherent right, and what gives them the right? By birth. Mother gave birth to the child. And that's why, by the way, if you study Islam, when someone asks the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, I'm going to humble him Allah. What deed is most loved by Allah? He said, that's Salat al-Allah. He had prayer on time. Fumma, that's been what? He said, Biru walidain, Biru walidain, obedience to parents. So in Islam, we respect our parents. My mother's still alive. I don't argue with my mother, whatever she say, yes, mom. Whatever my mother say, I would never talk back to my mother, never. I would let my mother spank me if she wanted to. If she can catch me. Pretty fast. But you know, we have respect for our parents.
only nation on this earth that doesn't have law. You know what I mean? Laws to govern. Should we have a society without laws? Should we? Should we?
No.
You don't know. You look like you hesitate.
I don't know. Maybe we should have laws.
Every nation on this earth has law. But the law of man is tricky. Let me tell you why the law of man is tricky. Three things. Number one, laws differ from country to country. Let me give you one example. Did you know communist China, if you're caught distributing pornography, you know what pornography is? Close your ears. You don't know what pornography is, right? Your son knows what? Yeah, no, okay. You know, if you fought some pornography in communist China, you know what the punishment is? Death. Immediate death. Laws differ from country to country. The country of hell, if you commit adultery, you know what the punishment is? Let me show you. I'm trying to demonstrate to you. The people who commit adultery, the man and the woman, they're put in a chair. The chair is tied, sturdy on a board. And then they are placed over a pool of water. And they are slowly dipped in the water. Until the head go under the water, and you can hear them grasping for air, and they pull them out, and they dip them again, and they pull them out before they drown, and they dip them again, and they keep on doing that until they drown to death. Laws differ from country to country. In some countries, if you commit incest, they will bury you alive. Some countries, they will burn you alive. And if you study, and I study these things, and I will tell you all the laws, how they differ from country to country. Number one. Number two, laws differ from state to state. Now, ask you a question. Are you committed? Yeah, you are. See, the rule is, whoever sits in front of me when I give a talk, I'm going to talk. Now, you know, see, that's why they're sitting back there. They already know. Are you committed to marry your cousin? No. Ha. What'd you say? Same thing, yeah. Same thing. It all depends on what state you live in. Some states, the United States of America, you can marry your first cousin. Some states you can't, because the law differs from state to state. Now, you don't know what fornication is? I'm really sorry. I know this sounds X-rated, like an X-rated talk, right? I keep thinking about my young brother here. I'm so sorry. That'll explain to you later. Do you know that fornication, two unmarried people, in some states, like Michigan, you know what the penalty is? $5,000 fine and 5 years in prison. It's on the books. But in the state of Arkansas, the punishment for adultery, the punishment in Arkansas, $20 fine. You get my point? State to state. Number three, laws differ from time to time. So the laws change. The laws in America from the days of the old colonial is different. They have strong laws that protected the families. And those laws have changed. And by the way, this, you know, to be honest with you, is that even though these laws exist on the books, they seldom get enforced. So I said Michigan, but they don't enforce. Okay? So what am I saying? What point am I making? If the country has the right, if the legislature, if the judicial have a right, if the executive have a right to carry out the law, if the legislature have the right to make the law, and the judicial judge the law, and they punish you, you punished in this country, in any country, if you violate the law of that country, right? If in some instances, there's death penalty. And these penalties are the creation of man. If man has the right to create law and punish, if parents have the right to order the children and to punish them if they disobey, then you tell me how come Allah, God, the creator of all of us, He don't have the right to punish us. He has the right to punish us. Am I right? And you know what? Really, brothers and sisters, that's why Allah is commanding. يغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. Allah is power of all things. Now, so number one, we got that out of the way at the nature of God. Number two, the nature of man. This, I'll take a few minutes. Number one, sisters, I want to tell you something about yourself. Don't worry, I'm in the same category. We are all sinners. We are. All of us. Every one of us who stand and who sit here, mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers and teachers and presidents and judges, and all of us are sinners. A couple of things I want to take from tradition. Let me give you one which I think is the most remarkable. I taught this tradition about to give you, and one of my students said, Imam Siraj, that is very dangerous. What you said is very dangerous. And I'm going to say it to you. What the Prophet said, peace and blessings be upon him. Listen to it. It is a very deep statement. He said,
لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا
لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا لَجَعَلَ بِالْأَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فَيَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ. And he began the statement by saying,
وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ,
I swear by him in whose hand my life is,
لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا,
if you, human beings, had not committed any sin, Allah would have destroyed all of you and brought people who would commit sin so that they can ask Allah's forgiveness so that Allah would forgive them. This is authentic hadith, mutafakun alayhi, Bukhari, Muslim. لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُونَ رَحْبِ لَأُرِّكُمْ وَجَعَدِ الْأَوْلٍ يُذْنِبُونَ فَيَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ فَيَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ. What does this tradition mean to you? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? I just said, be honest. What does it mean to you? Now I'll raise my hand, Chloe. You raise your hand. What does it mean to you? Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, that's true. But there's something more here. Yes.
Make a mistake, ask
repentance, yeah, but something else. Why would God destroy us to bring someone who would commit sin? Yes. Yes! It is impossible to be a human being and not sin. Does Allah want us to sin? No. Who said yes? No. He don't want us to sin, but he understands the need. Let me say a few things and you'll see where I'm coming from. See, you remember the statement. To err
is human. And very good, that's a forgiveness. Said air is human. One of the statements that Prophet Muhammad made, peace and blessings be upon him, he made it often, and I often make it, is eloquent. He said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. I am only a human being. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. I am only a human being. What is the fifth leading cause of death in this country? Smoking? Pretty good. It's not bad. No, it's not. The fifth leading cause of death in America is accidents. It's accidents. Why? Because you're human being. How many basketball players do we have here? When you make a mistake, Sister Benjamin? When you make a mistake in basketball, what do they call it?
Turnover.
Turnover. Ha! Good. It's a turnover. You make a mistake in football, it's a
penalty.
Fumble, interception. Tennis? I don't know. Tennis? Ball. Every sport must have a way to somehow notate mistakes and errors. No one is perfect. Never. If you shoot foul shots, you're going to miss. Eventually, you're going to miss because you're a human being. If you throw the ball, you're not going to catch it all the time. You're not going to, you know, right? You got my point, right? Because you're a human being. And then the prophet said, "Kullu ibnu adam khata'un." Every human being is a sinner. Every human being is a sinner. Every human being? Every. Yes? Every human being? Every human being. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said that God said, "Ya ibadi, kullukum dalun illa man hadaytu fastahduni ahdikum." Oh my servant, every one of you are misguided unless I guide you. Therefore, ask me and I will guide you. Every one of you are misguided. Every one of you are misguided unless I, God, Allah, guide you. Therefore, you ask me and I will guide you. Why do you think you say every day, 17 times a day, every day at least, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ. Guide me to the straight path. Guide me to the straight path. Every prayer, every rakah, guide me to the straight path. You know why? Because Allah has guided us with guidance. Now, it is a tough one. Anybody ever give you a check? Anybody ever give you a blank check? I got a blank check twice in my life. Allahu Akbar. I love it. What if somebody gave you a blank check, Allah, and said to you, no matter what you do, it would never be held against you. You'll go to paradise. No problem, no accounting at all. You understand what I'm saying? No matter what you do, do whatever you want to do. No punishment in this life and no punishment in the hereafter. How do you like that? You don't like that? You don't like that? You don't like it? No? You think it's a trick question, man? Man, tell me, no matter what I do, I'm straight, I'm going to die right. What you talking about, man? What would you do?
فاطمة هذا كيس الملاسل اللي يطانه وضيونا بلاي شاك
in his main hadith that proves it. One day the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was praying so long until his feet began to swell. And his wife Aisha, رضي الله عنها, she's looking at him and she said, لِمَا تَسْتُوَ حَذَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Why are you doing that? وَقَالَ بَقَرَ اللَّهُ لَقَدْ مَنْ تَقَدَمَ الْمَنْزَلِينَ وَمَنْ تَأَخَرَ Why are you doing? Allah has already forgiven you your past sins and your future sins. It's all through our tradition. We know that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he has a special thing that no matter what he does, Allah is going to forgive him. Now, this hadith shows us that despite that, he's still the most righteous and the most pious. Despite Allah giving him that gift, and why are you making all this extra prayer, right? Because the Prophet. Peace and blessings be upon him. He's special. Now, this is a tough part. Now, we're almost finished. By the way, I'm coming to my end. Right, I've got a couple more to go, right? Do the nature of God, nature of man a little bit, and now I'm talking about Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. I'm going to talk about the nature of sin, and then we're going to talk about how to get that. I'll be finished. I'll be surprised if 2 hours and I'm still talking. This is tough. Jews, Muslims, Jews, Christians, and Muslims agree with this point. If you ask a Jew, a Christian, or Muslim, who was the first man, they will say Adam. Same thing. Adam in Torah, Adam in Injil, Gospel, Adam in Quran. First man, Adam in Jesus. Yeah. I don't have time to go into it, but I'll just leave it for you to consider. Moses and Allah has a way of bringing people from different time zones together. So Allah brought Moses and Adam, and they had a debate. And Moses, peace and blessings be upon him. I know the strength. But Allah has the power and to bring people who died together to have conversation. We'll talk about that another time. That's what I'm saying. I just kind of leave it for you. This thing, by the way, you find it. Body Hadith, volume number 8, under the section called the Covenant. Pre-measurement. Anyway. Moses was, and by the way, if you study, you'll find that one of the wisest men ever was Musa, Moses. And if you study the Hadith, volume number 4, Bukhari Hadith, under the section at Anbiya the Prophet, it talks about Moses and how wise he was, the smartest human being on the earth. And this is another conversation. But Moses was condemned to Adam. He said, you know, God created you, put you in a garden, and you disappointed us. And then Adam said, how can you blame me for something that was written for me before I was created? And then the remarkable thing the Prophet said, peace and blessings be upon him, Adam defeated Moses in that argument. It's another issue, but this is nice for you to think about. You go, that's your homework assignment. The next time you invite me back, you will invite me back. Man. Now here's the topic. Let's set the stage first. How many of you want to go?
One exception.
Do you know how big Jim is? Bigger than this auditorium. Right? Yeah, packed in paradise, but the place where you want to go, it's there. Both feet are in. And all you got to do is avoid one tree. God, man. One tree.
How many of you, and I want an honest answer, think you would not have eaten from the tree raise your hand?
Good. Very good. Raise your hand.
You change your mind?
put it right back down. Raise my mind. Hand.
Good. How many of you say, yeah, I probably would have eaten from the tree, yeah? Why do you say yes?
I love it,
yes.
Yes. You can't have that one thing. It's like, why?
Yes. Yes. But God is telling you don't do it. Makes a difference. It does? It does? Makes a difference. Yes? Huh? Still human. But let me tell you something. I agree with you. From the very beginning, we see the nature of man. Rebellious. Let me give you two points, then we almost finished. Think about this. You know how many people on this earth? It's about 6 billion. And every day on this earth, intimacy between men and women happens 100 million times, 100 million times a day. This is not my figures, this is according to who? According to who? Who? World Health Organization. According to who? Well, who's on first? According to the World Health Association, 100 million times a day, intimacy between men and women. Now, between men, is rumored that most of that take place in New York City. But that's another issue. 100 million times a day that results in 910,000 conceptions a day. That results in 350,000 sexually transmitted diseases a day. That results in 150,000 abortions a day. 150,000 abortions a day. 350,000 sexually transmitted diseases a day. 910,000 conceptions every day on this earth. Now, sisters, I want you to excuse me for 1 minute. Stay here, I'm going to talk to you, brothers. I'm going away. Right? Brothers, I'm going to talk to you, brothers. Don't worry, the women, they can't hear us. Okay? I want an honest answer. First, how many brothers are married? Alright, this is the question. How many of the men here love and are attracted to women? Raise your hand. Yeah, right. Alright. Not sure? Any problem with it, raise your hand. See me later. We got to talk. Alright? We can talk later. What I am saying is it is absolutely natural for men and women to be attracted to one another. It is absolutely natural. Allah created you like that. But if you want to be successful, you have to do according to what He commands. Adam
and his wife, by the way, Allah mentions in the Quran, if you study the Quran, it's beautiful, they both ate from the tree. Allah gave both of them the instructions. Let's talk about that, the dual. Ya Adam, uskun, anta wa zawjuka al-jannah wa kula. You two eat. You two. Let's talk about that. You two don't go near the tree. Or you two become, you know, among the wrongdoers. Now, the bottom line, brothers and sisters, number four, is the nature of sin. If God tells man and woman what not to do, there's a price that you have to pay if you do. In the Bible, they say something like this: the wages of sin is death. Is it? Am I right? The wages of sin is death, right? There is a price that you have to pay every time you commit a sin. What is the sin? What's the sin? Let's do this for a second. Let's not call it a sin. Let's call it something different. And sometimes what Allah's messenger, what they do is they make us understand something on the human level in order to understand the divine level. Let's not call it sin, let's call it crime. Okay? Let's not call it sin, call it crime. Now, I need you to help me. Most populated nation on the earth. China. Population of China.
About 1.4 billion.
1.3 billion million. Second most populated nation on earth.
India.
Population, 1 billion, 84 million, something like that. By the way, soon India is going to pass China as the most populated nation. Number three, third most populated nation on earth. No, not Indonesia. United States of America. United States of America is the third most populated nation on earth with a population of 300 million. What's the population of China? What did I say? 1.3 billion. So China has how many more people than America? 1.4 billion more. Yes, Americans have 500,000 more prisoners than all China. Just think about it. If all of the people who are under the supervision of the criminal justice system in America, if they were a state of the United States of America, they would be the 16th most populated nation in America, but 16th most populated state in America. You with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Now let me read this to you, I'll blow your mind. These are not my figures. These are the figures from the FBI. And what you do, you see that book there, brother? Show me that. Hands on this shoulder. This is called the World Almanac. I advise all leaders to pick this up every year. And these give you the actual facts. This tells you what's going on in America, what's going on around the world. You don't have to guess. These are actual facts. It's the World Almanac. Comes up every year. And I get a three companies, put them out, I get all of them, and I compare them. This is what I do. This is my, I'm a researcher. I'm not a, I'm not a cheat. No, I'm very, very shy. I am. Now, this is put up by, these are latest figures put up by the FBI, it's the number of victimizations. That means people victim of crime. All of them together, are you ready? United States, 23,440,720 victims of crime. Violent crime, 5,173,720. Property crime, 18,039,930. Theft.
13,605,590. The prisons are filled up with people.
Man is a
sinner. Man is a criminal. And you want me to be honest with you? Do you know the difference between many of us on the outside and those on the inside of prison? You know one of the major differences? They got caught. Seriously. Think about all the things that we do here. You don't have to look around the world. You don't have to look at no one else. Just look at yourself tonight. And look what you do. You say, well, it makes a difference. God said don't do it, but yet God is telling us every day what not to do, and we're still doing the opposite. Honor. You want to talk about Adam. How could Adam do that? I'm According to Cornell University, they did a study in 2002, and they said that there are 8 million Muslims in America. That's what they said. And they said at the present rate of expansion of growth of Muslims in America, they said Cornell University, by 2014, there will be 16 million Muslims in America. And let me ask you this question. See if you agree with my findings. Do you think that there are more Muslims who go to the masjid or Muslims who don't go to the masjid? Who say don't go? Who say go? I agree with you. I agree with you. Do you think more Muslim children go to full-time Muslim school or public school? Public school. Let's see if we can better some figures. According to the New York City Police Department, they just put out a study about Muslims in New York City. They said there are between 600,000 and 750,000 Muslims in New York City. I think there are more than that. But let's take this figure. Let's take the high figure. Let's take 750,000. How many masters do you think in New York City? There are 200 masters in New York City. Let's assume that each master has 1,000 people going to the master. How many people is that? It doesn't matter how many. 200,000, right? 200,000 going to the master, and you know each master don't have 1,000. Right? Less. Or average is less. We are Muslims. You know how many Muslim schools we have in New York City? Muslim full-time schools, 35. Let's say each one has 1,000 students. How many students is that? 35,000.
Where are the Muslim children? Over 95% of Muslim children in America go to public school. That's when 5% go to Muslim full-time school. Where are the Muslims? How many of us are making prayer? How many Muslims are making prayer on a regular basis? How many Muslims fast in the month of Ramadan? You go to the masjid in Ramadan. Don't you find that the masjid in Ramadan are filled? That you don't see during the rest of the year? Where are they? I saw a brother in the masjid in Ramadan. I saw a brother in salsa. I saw alaikum. I see you next year. I had to give the Eid prayer once. I was in the city. Please don't ask me the city. And I had to give the sermon. So, you know, the Eid prayer is like 8 o'clock in the morning. 8:15, 8:30, something like that. So, I said, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry, the organizers said, brothers and sisters, Imam Siraj is about to give the Eid prayer. It's very important for those of you who did not pray Fajr prayer this morning. You should pray it now first. Stand up now and pray your Fajr prayer. Now I have my back. And I said, I refuse to look. But temptation got the best of me. And I heard all this rustling and moving around. And I looked and behold, 75% of the people were standing up making Fajr prayer. How many of us are making Fajr prayer? Only Allah knows. How many of us really fast in the month of Ramadan? Because nobody knows. Because in the presence of everybody, we look like we fasting. We look like we're good Muslims. But the reality is, Allah knows really what we do in the public and what we do in private. I even put a quick example from the Quran, which is very beautiful. You see, brothers and sisters, one of the worst things that you can be is a hypocrite. See, what do you mean a hypocrite? A hypocrite is the person who showed one thing to do the public and finally did something different. I give you an example. Look at this verse of Quran. Give me 5 minutes, I'll read it. Can I get 5 minutes? Five? Okay. 5 minutes, I promise you I'll be finished. I'll be finished in 5 minutes, inshallah. Oh, yeah! I really want to be finished in 5 minutes if you let me talk. وإذا لقوا الذين آمنوا قالوا آمنا وإذا خلع إلى شياطينهم قالوا إنا معكم إنما نحن مستهزئون. And when they meet those who believe, they say, we believe, but when they are alone with the evil ones, we say, we are really like you, we are really with you, we were only mocking. And you know what? Really, you know what my concern is? My concern is for the youth, and let me tell you why. Let me tell you why my concern is for the youth. You see, brothers and sisters, I decided that I want to become Muslim. I became a Muslim. Nobody in my family Muslim. Nobody. Mother, father, brother, cousin, uncle, nobody. I'm the first one to become Muslim in my family. I became a Muslim because I want to be Muslim. But the danger is that when my children stop growing up, where am I taking them? I'm taking them to the masjid. I got their hair, I'm taking them to the masjid. I'm a Muslim. I'm taking them to the masjid. But the question is, when did my children decide that they want to be Muslim? And when did you decide that you want to be Muslim? Or are you still living under the shadow of your parents? Are you still acting like a Muslim because your home and your parents are telling you to dress like that? If you on your own, would you dress like that? If you on your own, would you read the Quran? If you on your own, would you read the hadith of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, if you on your own? But see, when you're children under the shadow of your parents, maybe you act one way at home. I know Muslim sisters who leave the house with their full hijab. And when they get out the house on the way to school, they take off the hijab and put on other clothes. And so, we are really with you. We are only mocking. Growing up, where am I taking them? I'm taking them to the masjid. I got their hair, I'm taking them to the masjid. I'm a Muslim. I'm taking them to the masjid. But the question is, when did my children decide that they want to be Muslim? And when did you decide that you want to be Muslim? Or are you still living under the shadow of your parents? Are you still acting like a Muslim because your home and your parents are telling you to dress like that? If you're on your own, would you dress like that? If you're on your own, would you read the Quran? If you're on your own, would you read the hadith of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, if you're on your own? But see, when you're children under the shadow of your parents, maybe you act one way at home. I know Muslim sisters who leave the house with their full hijab. And when they get out the house on the way to school, they take off the hijab and put another coat on. And so, we are really with you. We are only mocking. You gotta be careful, especially the youth, because you have to make the decision, I want to be Muslim on my own. You hear me? You understand what I'm saying? And now comes the difficulty, in my conclusion. Here comes the difficulty. Live in America. It's rough being a Muslim in America. Muslims watch television. Now, I know, brothers and sisters, none of you watch TV. I know that. There's a television, well, I've never seen it. There's a television program, I have never seen it. I've never watched it. It's called Desperate Housewives. And it comes on, what day again? Oh, all of a sudden you don't know. I believe, just, I read an article in a magazine, front page, Desperate Housewives, and I read about the program. I know what kind of program it is. I believe there's worse than that. I believe, and you'll tell me later what I'm going to check it out. I'm not really with that. I know a brother runs this, you're not going to believe me. I hope none of you have a drug problem. I'm serious. I hope none of you have a drug problem. The drug problems are serious. By the way, we had a brother in our community, Abdurrahman. He was on drugs for 30 years. This man got AIDS virus. He's my height, 6 feet tall. He got down to 60 pounds, wallahi. And the doctor told him, you're going to die. You're going to die. He said, leave me to talk to someone who knows. And he said he called to Allah. He was on drugs for 30 years. He called unto Allah. That was 15 years ago. You see him today, a picture of health, Allah. He looks good and clean. He's our brother. Anyone have a drug problem, we get this brother out of Rahman. This brother is so good, I'm telling you. He can look at you and tell what drugs you're on. He tell everybody to call this. No, I'm serious. You see, man, that brother over there, he's on crack. That sister, she smoked a reefer. I'm saying, I love that one. He's in there. So, brothers and sisters, what I'm saying to you in my conclusion is this. When you commit sin, it is not to your advantage. And by the way, this is our Muslim Quran and the beyond of the Mu'min and the Muslim. Prophet, peace and blessing, they are closer to the believers than themselves. You have to believe that every commandment that Allah gives you is for your best interest. And whatever He says stay away from is to your detriment if you don't. And Shaitan will do the opposite. He will whisper to you to do those things that will bring you down. And the real danger is you young brothers and sisters on these college campuses and young brothers and sisters in this world. It's a test, it's a fitna, it's a trap. But I say to you my conclusion that you gotta come back. And you can come back. And let me say that this is critical. There's a case going on in New York City right now. It's a case in court. It's about an FBI agent who became corrupted. He had infiltrated the mafia. And in that he caused, from what we understand, the death of 5 people, giving information to the mafia. One of the people in the mafia, they gave him immunity, testified.
And the district attorney asked him, how many people did you kill? He said, I stopped counting at 50. I stopped counting at 50. There are people, brothers and sisters, who murder every day. In this country, some 20,000 Americans will be murdered every year. Now, I said that for a reason. I said that for a reason. Every year in this country, people will murder one another. The first murder on the planet Earth didn't take long. The first son of Adam. Murder. There was a man in one of the traditions who murdered 100 people. Let me go back. He murdered 99 people. And he wanted to make Talmud what I want you to make today. Turn back to Allah. And he went and asked the question, who's the most learned person on the earth? It's a rocket, a monk. He went to this monk and said, I murdered 99 people, can I make tawbah? He said, no. And he killed the monk. A lot of wisdom in that. He said, a lot of wisdom in that. He told him no, and he killed the monk. Then he said, who's the wisest person on the earth? They pointed to a alim, rajulun alim. A knowledgeable man. He said, I killed 100 people. Is there a way for me to make tawbah, repentance to God, to come back to God? He said, yes, there is a way. Nothing can stop you from making repentance to your Lord. Nothing. And he told him what to do. This man, he said, the place that you live in is a wicked place. Go to this place where people worship God, and they don't associate God with them. Go worship with them. So the man, he went. And on his way there, he died. And so the angels now are arguing, is he going to go to hell? Is he going to go to paradise? So the angels of punishment said he did no good. And the angels of mercy said he intended to do good. So Allah sent an angel, and the angel measured the land where he came from and where he was going, and he said, whichever is closest, the angels can take them. Angels of forgiveness or angels of punishment. One narration said, before they measured, Allah stretched the land so that he was a little bit closer to where he was going. They measured, and Allah forgave them their sin. Murdered 100 people. Now I got something for you to think about. New York City, there was a judge, an African American judge, years ago called Turner Luce Bruce. Real case. His name is Judge Bruce Wright. He was very lenient, and he would turn people loose. Would you like a judge, for instance, everybody who comes in front of him, for him to let them go? Would you like that? No one would like that. Why? It's not just. But yet, Allah has a way to judge in such a way that if he judges that man, forgives this man, maybe the people that he hurt, they'll get blessings for it. And if I have proof from that tradition, but the Muflis, I don't have time to go into the details, but the person that you kill may be the one who dies, go to Jannah. I got evidence for that, inshallah. So brothers and sisters, tubu ila Allah, turn back to Allah. You have to go back to Allah. What this taught is what my young, what the brother read the Quran. My brother read the Quran this afternoon. He began the program with this ayat of Quran. It's very important. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. I don't care whatever you did today, even before you came here. Allah forgives every sin. Does Allah forgive every sin? Almost. Yes, Allah forgives every sin, including shirk, if you do it while you are alive. But what he doesn't forgive if you die in shirk. There's no forgiveness for that. So I'm saying to you, at least before you leave there tonight, there's no God but Allah. معظم المسجد. أليس بها؟ This is why before the Prophet of Abu Talib died, قل لا إله إلا الله. Say there's no God but Allah. Say, that's that alone. And then make intention from this night forward. But if you do it, you stop doing it. Brothers, I know you're attracted to the sisters. I know you are. To get married. If any brother want to get married tonight, I'll perform. I'm serious. I'm doing mass performance right now. Your garden's on the phone, we'll hook you up. So, brothers and sisters, Allah is most merciful. He wants us to come back to Him. He wants us to make tawbah. Do it. It's your benefit. And remember this before I go. You may say the little sin is no big deal, but it is a big deal. If you sleep with a woman, brother, that's not your wife, sleep with a man that's not your husband, you don't know that that day you may get the AIDS virus. Maybe one time you did it, or you become pregnant, or you get gonorrhea, syphilis, and herpes, and all of that. Be patient. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, Allah will give you something good. Be patient and wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn back to Allah. Get back on track. Start it tonight. Who should get on track? Imam Siraj is number one. And all of us, you need to get back on track. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and help guide you. Ameen. Now, we have time for some questions. And brothers and sisters, it is now 5 to 8. Anyone have any questions, statements, please don't hesitate. We have another mic out there. Feel free, brothers and sisters. I have time for a couple questions, inshallah. Anyone like that?
Advice to the criminal justice.
Again? Ha! Advice! Okay. So, brothers and sisters, my advice to so the criminal justice. Do you have any idea how many Muslims are in the prisons of America? According to all that I've researched, there are at least 300,000 Muslim inmates in the prisons of America. Many of them converted in prison. I want to read something to you. I get letters all the time from prison. I thought this was a very special letter. It's going to read a couple sentences. I think it helps make my point. Assalamu alaikum. I am writing you from the Station State Prison in Alabama. I would like to inform you that recently I was paroled after 16 years for the conviction of manslaughter. It is my desire and intention to transfer my parole to New York City. So until approval, I will remain incarcerated. I am told that the process takes about 4 to 6 months. Allah knows best. Upon arrival, I would like your support with making an Islamic adjustment back into society. I have never seen or been inside any masjid, nor have I seen a Muslim on the streets. I declare, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, while incarcerated in 1993 and striving still, alhamdulillah. I do not know my way around New York, so I'm hoping someone would guide me to the masjid upon my arrival. I would like to make salah prayer in the house of Allah on the very day that I arrive. I am told every year between 30,000 and 40,000 inmates in the prisons of America convert to Islam. 30,000 to 40,000. This is the question. This man, we learn from this hadith, if there's no tawbah,
then people become hopeless. If you can't reach back to God, you make a mistake, you can't get back, it's hopeless. And you will understand. If a person served 16 years in prison, I'm asking you this question. Did he pay his debt to society? Yeah. Did he? Huh? But this is the question. If you go to prison for whatever, you serve your term, and they say, this is the punishment for your crime. You paid your debt to society. But the problem is, when you come out of prison, you never paid your debt. Because you are stigmatized for the rest of your life. And that person who comes out of prison, and they look for a job, the first thing they ask, have you been in prison? Most brothers say no, and they hire them. But 1 month later, after checking, a background check, they find out that they've been in prison. And then they fire them on the spot. If you tell them, have you been, if they ask you, have you been in prison? You say, yes, I'm honest, I've been in prison, but I will leave, and this was my case. They said, okay, we'll call you. And they will never call us. We have to have ways to meet people come out of prison. We have to have some way for them to come back to society, like this brother wants to come back. And this is one of my mandates, is to make sure that all across America, when people come out of prison, they have something so they can go back into the mainstream of society. That's time for three questions. You don't have to write them down. You can write if you want, but you don't have to write them down. Three questions. Yes, sir.
What are you doing? The question I actually wrote down on a piece of paper, what are the best ways to stay away from hypocrisy?
The best way to what?
Stay away from hypocrisy.
Stay away from hypocrisy. Let me ask you a question. And I want to understand this. How many of you think it's possible to believe in Allah and yet not make prayer? If you think it's possible, raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand. Okay, now. It is interesting. I have never ever read in my Islamic life, and I study, and I'm not an Alim at all, but I have never ever read any suggestion or hint that it is possible to love Allah and not pray. On the contrary, I read, and you read, where you can actually pray and still not be a believer. وَقَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا وَقُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلُوا الْإِمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ Saying, the desert Arabs say, we believe. Saying not that you believe, say that you have accepted faith. You become Muslim, but faith has not yet entered your heart. Do not hypocrites pray? Hypocrites make pilgrimage to Mecca? Of course they do. But the opposite is never true. If you really believe, it's impossible to really believe and not make prayer. You can't do it. You can't do it. Because once you realize that this is what, I mean, really, this is what Allah said, I mentioned the hadith earlier, that the most loved by Allah, as salatu ala waqtiha, is prayer all the time. If you study, the more you study hadith, you see the significance of prayer, no Muslim is going to not pray. Now, I'm not saying that we don't get lazy or miss a prayer hand, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, if you want to get back, you want to get back on time, you start living your prayer. You want to get back, you start making your prayer. And one of the ways to get rid of hypocrisy is one of the things, brothers and sisters, you know about yourself. If you know that you go to the masjid and you make prayer, but you don't make prayer at home and nobody's watching you, you need to do it at home and nobody's watching you. That's how you know for sure that you're getting away from hypocrisy. That's the key, because the whole idea of hypocrisy is doing it in front of other people. Because you're not doing it for Allah. You do it for Allah, I don't care who's looking. You do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you study, the more you read, the more you're with Muslims, you will see that you will get some of that on you, and you will become stronger in your iman, because one of the great ways to become stronger in your iman, your faith, is to be with people who are strong in their faith. But I don't mind you, you make me read this stuff, I don't want to read this stuff. I want you to raise your hand. I know this is probably weird, but there are many sisters and brothers who are struggling about marriage issues. What do we tell our parents that we want
to get married for the reasons. When we tell our parents we want to get married, they give us no answer. Like different culture, language, better school first. We want to do right, but we can't be with parents. I got you. I know what you're trying to say. I get your point. One of the greatest struggles that these young men are going to have is struggles with women. Now, we need to talk to the uncles. I talk to the uncles and aunties about that. And it's real, because the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, I didn't believe anything more harmful as a test for the man than the women. And likewise, women for the man, because of that electricity, that bond that I talked about. And I'm one who always encouraged people to be married. And the Prophet didn't be some blessings be upon him, he encouraged them to get married at an early age. And there are ways that we can do it. And I'm just saying this. I know the Prophet said peace and blessings be upon him, that we should fast. And you should fast. But you should fast and also get married. And I know it's easy to say. I like this question. Yes, ma'am. Can anyone or does anyone have the right to judge you on your past, even if you had a child before you became practicing Muslim or been strict? I'm saying this, brothers and sisters, even if you're Muslim and you made a mistake, it's okay. Because the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said every human, every son and daughter of Adam is a sinner, but the best sinner are those who return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات فتاب عليه إنه هو التواب الرحيم. And Adam made a mistake. And he learned from his Lord words of inspiration, and he asked Allah's forgiveness. Allah's all of returning to forgiveness. I'm saying, brothers and sisters, listen. You made a mistake. We all make a mistake. We all make mistakes. But I'm saying, no, it's not the end of the life. It's not the end of the world. And in this country, 30,000 Americans take their lives in suicide every year. People are ashamed. They can't look at themselves. I'm saying, put your head up. Allah bless you. You know, there was a woman, years ago, a black woman. She was raped by a white man. And as a result of the rape, she became pregnant. Could you blame her if she had an abortion? Who would blame this woman? She got raped by a white man. You know what? She had the baby. She decided to have the baby. And she gave birth to a little girl, beautiful girl. That girl grew up to be the mother of Malcolm X. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes we try to cover up the shame and do something worse. So there are women who have one abortion after another, after other, after other, after other, and the child is innocent, and they're so ashamed of themselves that they want to take their own lives or take the life of their unborn baby, and thus compounding the sin. I'm saying, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a woman during the time of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. She committed adultery, and she became pregnant. And she came and confessed to the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And she, the Prophet, after she had the baby, they had, at that time, capital punishment. Capital punishment is in the law of the Torah. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, the same law in Islam, a capital punishment for adultery. And that woman, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, made the funeral prayer for that woman. And said that this woman made such a repentance that it was spread over 70 people of Medina. It would suffice all of them. So I'm saying, make tawbah, whatever it is. However bad it is, brothers and sisters, don't kill yourself. You know, if you look in our communities, you'd be shocked who's in our community. We have brothers, we have imams over masjids who've been to prison. I know them, you don't even know them. And you have no idea what they used to do. But Allah cleaned them up. I talked about this brother Abdul Rahman. And a lot of the brothers whom Allah blessed. Some people right in Islam. One of the greatest examples of Malcolm X and Haj Malik Shabazz. You read his autobiography. How many read his autobiography about him? You know what Malcolm used to be. Yeah.
Look how Allah blessed him to clean his life up, and look, he became a shining example. And he goes around, he's not ashamed. He said, yeah, I was in prison. And he talked about his experiences in prison. But Allah cleaned him up. Maybe some of the same brothers and sisters here who make mistakes and they admit to their mistakes to Allah. And Allah cleaned them up. You just put your head up. You put your head up and you go straight forward. And that's Allah's forgiveness, inshallah. Alright, one more. It's long, brothers and sisters. I'm gonna finish. Because you look like you're tired. Ha! Please mention to donate generously. George Mason University, in essence. The fun sisters, you all look like you don't have a lot of money. But please, before you go visit boxes all over the place, make a donation, whatever you can. If they want to write a check, what should they write a check to? Yeah? One of the officers in charge. Make a check to your name. Write a check to me. That was the thing. So you can't go write it to the school itself. To one of the officers. Make me. For instance, you know, there's a magnificent job. And it's long, brothers and sisters. I'm gonna finish. Because you look like you're tired. Ha! Please mention to donate generously. George Mason University, in essence. The fun sisters, you all look like you don't have a lot of money. But please, before you go visit boxes all over the place, make a donation, whatever you can. If they want to write a check, what should they write a check to? Yeah? One of the officers in charge. Make a check to your name. That was the thing. Write a check to me. That was the thing. So you can't go write it to the school itself. To one of the officers. Make me. For instance, you know, there's a magnificent job. And